man. No, from hell. You know, I remember the days when I was a medical man. My specialty? OBGYN. Every day, I'd walk into my office and pompously throw my arms skyward, screaming, "These hands have been touched by God!" Everybody said I got into it just because I wanted to live the fine life, that I wanted the big house, that I wanted to drive that Maserati. True. However, I also gave back to the community to ease my sense of guilt. And I had a big one, believe me. I mean, when you make a living just by looking at that thing, feasting your eyes on that thing, and then getting $37 to do it, I mean, you got some severe guilt problem. Because most of the times it was no fuss, no muss. You know, they'd be in there draped and ready. I'd walk in. Let me see here. Scoot down, scoot down, scoot down. Uh-huh. That's far enough. Thank you. I see here. No fuss, no muss. Little tetracycline will clear that up. And some Visine. She said, "Visine? I never heard of putting Visine on that thing. That's not for that. That's for my eyes, baby. Give me some Visine." Oh, gee. Yeah. It gets the red out. I'll get the tuna as well. But I digress. What we used to do is donate our time once a week. It was a rotating pool. Because a lot of people never go to the doctor unless they're bleeding or something, unless they're hurt. You know that? Do you realize that? You go all the time, regular intervals. Oh, hello, Dr. Hodgkiss. Yes. How are we? Still dealing with that vaginitis? Obviously, we still are. But most people, you know, especially people that don't have a high income, what, are they going to drop $37 on that? So we would have the mobile gyno clinic, big old Winnebago, that we'd outfitted, you know, with table stirrups, Lysol gas mask, Agent Orange, you know, all the stuff that GYN needs. And I remember one time we was out in this field where they're having a big old hippie-like commune thing. And this motorcycle mama come up to the window and said, "Doctor, I have been with the Hellcats for 6 months now, and I must have had 95 lovers in the 6 months. And I think I better," I said, "young lady, you better get checked out here." Well, I got her inside the thing, and she said to me, "You know, I've never had a doctor before. And normally I would never compromise my professional ethics. But I figured 95, what's 96? I mean, plus, who's she gonna, what is she gonna sue me? What does she know? An attorney? Can she say the word?" So I figured, what the hey? And as I plunged deep, her boyfriend walked in. Was huge. I mean, you know, one of those biker kind of guys that you see and you just hope to pray to God that you never have to deal with. He came walking in, and there I was in mid-hobble. I mean, he just had those arms on him and that belly, and he had his big, long Bowie knife in his hand. I mean, that thing was glinting in the light. He said, "Doctor..." I said, wait a minute. I'm just taking your temperature. He just smiled. He said, "Well, you pull that thing out. And if it don't have little numbers written all along it, I'm gonna cut it off."
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport.
Hey, I heard about your trouble, and I'm sorry. Coincidentally, I'm going through the same thing. It's ironic, you know, I was feeling bummed, and it's always when you feel bummed, you don't realize there are other people doing it. I just broke up. Yeah. Long-term relationship. You know what? I don't really want another long-term relationship, you know? And I almost feel a sense of freedom in that I don't feel that... What I would like, though, is a friend. And I feel like since you've just got through some poop and I just got through... Do you mind? Why don't we just... Could you be my friend? Could we have a little dinner? I mean, it's so nice to be able to go out with someone without the pressure of wondering, oh, is he going to put the moves on? Am I going to put the moves on? Are we going to be dating? I mean, what if this? What if that? Can we just go out and have a nice dinner? And that'll appeal to her because everybody else has been trying to, you know, been very transparent. But you say simply, all I want is, let's just talk. You know, it'd be nice to talk to a female without having to worry about what I'm doing on a date, you know? She'll say, you know, it'd be nice, and the same thing for men. So you go out, you have a nice time. Believe me, you'll end up at her place or your place. Because you've set it up so nicely that you weren't intending to get that thing, she'll hand that thing to you on a silver platter. I mean, believe me, before the night is done, you'll be all nice. She'll be saying, oh, I can't believe this is happening. I didn't intend for the air, right? Neither did I. Shut up.
Ah, that's good. Oh, ain't he sweet? Yeah. The Grease Man, DC 101. Vamos, muchachos. Venga conmigo a la tierra de la muerte. Go to the land of the dead. All right, I admit it. The first time I went down, it was out of high school with a bunch of guys in an old battered Biscayne. Yeah, we were all in our teens, and, well, we wanted to become men. And since there were no houses of questionable repute in Bayonne, we drove down to Tijuana. We found this one house. Y'all sure we were all scared, but the lady was nice. She saw us outside. She said, oh, look at the little gringitos. They are coming to be men. Come inside. We're all standing there, all nervous, shuffling in our chinos. She said, well, what do you want? You, the big one. I said, well, oh, I don't know. What a rate. She said, well, if you want hamburger, it's $25. You want hamburger, it's $15. You want hamburger and hamburger, it's $35. It's going to run you $75. I said, now, wait a minute. Now, let me see if I got this right. I said, hamburger, $25. Hamburger, $15. Hamburger, $35. Hamburger, $75. He said, yes. Now, if you want to do some mutual gabadugi, that is $62.50. I said, $60. I said, how much for the whole enchilada, as it were? She said, you mean for the whole? I said, yeah, the whole Magilla. I said, yeah, you know from Magilla. I said, yeah, the whole Magilla. How much? She said, $100. I said, all right, give me the whole thigh. Sure enough, I grabbed that little girl. We went upstairs. We tore out. I felt so good. You know, I was nervous, but I felt so good in the aftermath. Ooh, yeah. When I finally got done and I pulled away, I said, ah. I said, baby, that was nice. If you have a baby, call it Nino. She said, okay. And if you have a scab, call it gonorrhea.
How about, just let you know, I'll open that thing again. I won't make you wait right till 9:55 when I get off or so. How about 9:05, okay? Can you linger till 9:05, please? Promise? Cross your heart and hope to poop? Okay. Hello?
Hi, I need you to call my husband.
What's his problem, honey?
Well, tomorrow he's going to have a vasectomy, and he's a little nervous.
Oh, man, he should well be nervous. That procedure is not without its discomfort.
That's true. Will you call him?
Yeah, all right, I'll give him a call.
Okay.
Are you going to get fixed?
I mean, him.
What? How come you didn't opt for tubligation?
Because I had our children.
Yeah, but I mean, it would have been a simple matter when you were there grinding out the last little booger to have them cauterize that thing, huh?
That is true.
But you didn't want to.
No, we were going to.
But what happened?
However, they wouldn't let me do it there, but then I was going to have it done last week. But I'm nursing. We have a 2-month-old baby.
Yeah.
See him, and then I have to be gone all day. And he, they'd have to put me under, you know, general anesthesia.
Yeah.
For him, it would just be local.
Yeah, but boy, what a local it is. Oh, geez, it's like the local express train coming through.
I know, but he's a tough guy.
What's the number?
It's 4.
Okay, just lay that thing on me and, What's his name?
Chip.
Chip?
Yeah.
Manly name. What's your name?
Jeannie.
Jeannie?
Mimi.
Amy.
No, Mimi. M-I-M-I.
Mimi. All right. See you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. I'm dialing up little Chipper to see what I can see. I'm dialing up little Chipper. Hello?
Hello. You have reached the construction office at the village at McLean Garden. When you hear the sermon, please leave your name, today's date, your phone number, and any brief message. Your call will be returned as quickly as possible.
Hey, Chip, it's the Grace. Crying out loud on the 13th of whatever it is, November. It's 8:24. Buddy, for crying out loud, why are you getting that vasectomy? It's going to be a long time before you hear the sound of... Yeah, so good luck, and if you want to let the doctor know that you are totally a real man, buddy, totally a real man, have him trim the hair around your doodads with a weed eater, buddy.
Okay, this is the Duke taking your calls about the...
Oh, barbecue. Oh, barbecue, baby, I love you. O'Brien's barbecue. I like that happening sauce.
I mean the meat's the faucet. The real lo-lo-lo cost you like the coin we toss. I don't know. My tuckus has no moss. I should write this in advance. Yeah. Oh, barbecue. O'Brien's pit bar.
Now you come in when I need you with the beans.
Wait till sink my teeth.
Yeah, sink this, yeah. O'Brien.
Hey, this is Rick. How's it going, buddy?
Very well, thank you.
All right, listen, I have a big favor to ask of.
What's up?
My wife is going to be scheduled for a cesarean section on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah?
She's in high-risk pregnancy. She's been pregnant 6 times before. We just have 1 child.
Ooh.
We're all getting antsy and nervous, and I was wondering if she'd really pick up her spirits. You could give her a call and say howdy and just kind of reassure her everything's going to be just fine.
How old is she?
She's 32.
Man, she's been married to you throughout those 6 pregnancies?
That's right. We'll be married 10 years this
summer. Damn. Well, buddy, you must have gone through some hell.
Yeah, it ain't been fun, but we got a 4-year-old. The last pregnancy was quite successful. So.
Oh, well, then there you go. This one will be no fuss, no muss.
Well, that's what we're hoping, but I tell you, it really cheer her up. You give her a call. I think you can do that for me.
Well, what's the telephone number over there? Maybe I can dial up that? Wait a minute, where's my pen? Okay, go ahead.
490.
Uh-huh.
My wife's name is Carolyn, and I'm Rick.
All right, see you later. 490, right?
Yeah, 4905.
I got it. No problem. See you later, bye-bye.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, bye-bye. Let me dial his little honey and see what I can do. Let me dial that little angel and make their dreams come true. Let me dial. 12 after 8 at DC-101. The commander here.
Hello?
Hello, little sunshine. Hi, little cooter. It's the grease man calling. This must be Carolyn.
Yes, it is.
Rick asked me to call. Is that okay?
Oh, it's fine. I had a feeling this was going to happen.
He's been threatening to call, eh?
Well, he warned me that this might happen sometime soon.
Unbelievable, Matt. Unbelievable. So you got 1 4-year-old. You're hoping for another little baby.
Right.
Boy, it sounds like, though, you've had some trouble over the years, huh?
Not really. We're doing pretty good.
Good, good. So here, Rick Tillett, you've been awash in placenta. Yeah, well, all right. How's that baby doing? Is he kicking into pounding?
Actually, pretty quiet at the moment.
When is this?
I know it's you on the phone.
When is the cesarean scheduled for?
Wednesday morning, 9:30.
Wednesday morning at 9:30.
Yeah.
You go under the knife.
Well, you could put it a little better way.
What are you going to name this baby?
Well, I still haven't quite made up my mind, so I guess it's going to be down to the wire before we decide.
What are you thinking about?
Maybe Courtney if it's a girl.
Everybody's naming their baby Courtney. There'll be 80,000 Courtneys.
I thought it was Jennifer and Jason and Joshua. Those seem to be the popular names.
They are Courtney, though. Nick's on a Courtney. Go with something that people don't use, like Zelda would be a nice name. Zelda. What do you think?
I'll consider it.
shut that kid up. What if it's a boy?
Corey.
Corey?
Yes.
Honey. I mean, you are predisposing that boy to honk Bobo if you name him Corey. Life is tough enough. You don't want to push him over the edge. Send him to school with his tonsils whitewashed. So I'm on the phone up to your stomach. Hello? Corey? Are you there? It's too cutesy. I think you should have a name like Bronco, or Thumper, or Knuckles.
Knuckles? I don't want people calling me Knuckles.
Well, no, it's tough, though. It's a tough name.
I don't want to be tough. I want to be cute.
Well, all right. Well, you can be cute, but you got to be tough sometimes in life, or else the other boys will pick on you, and, they'll bully you around, and you'll start feeling intimidated, and you won't hang around them, you won't play sports, and you'll end up...
No, I'm
going to
be cute. Everybody will be... Be my friend, because I'll be so cute, they won't be able to resist me.
You must be cute, but keep in mind, you gotta have some guts. You gotta have some, chutzpah.
I got chutzpah. Hey, I discovered something.
What's that?
You can get like an echo effect in the bombay.
No, really?
Yeah, listen to this. Let me get myself turned around here.
That's unbelievable.
Isn't it neato, Torpedo? It's like being in the Swiss Alps. Hello, 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 hello.
I mean, that's unbelievable. I've never heard of that echo effect, that a baby could actually lean into the cavernous abyss of the Bombays and actually, you know. I wonder if it works the other way around.
You ought to try it. Yeah, we can yodel back and forth at each other.
Well, all right, let me give it a try. Ma'am, excuse me, if you wouldn't mind switching the phone. I'll check it out. I think I'll wait until it's just a tad less breezy.
Hi, waterbed.
Time to wonder what it must be like to strap on a gun and pin on a bird and become the... Call. Listen to the hot cars and the crimes that were committed overnight as you get ready to get out of the hit the streets. Finally, the sergeant sums up and says, "All right, man, move out, nail 'em and jail 'em." As you start to leave the room, he taps you on the shoulder and says, "Hey, when are you gonna do something about that gut?" And you look down and you grab a 2 fistful of stomach and you say, "You know how long it took to make this gut? 18 years I've been on the force. You know how many burritos I had to eat to get it to look like this? You know how many Bavarian creams I had to put down? You know how many Slim Jims are in here? Take a look at this, Sergeant. Take a look at this gut. I've had to go through 5 different Sam Browns to accommodate it. And now you want me to get rid of it? Do you have an idea how long it would take to replace it?" The Sergeant says, "But just think of your cardiovascular system." Say, "What about it? I like it just the way it is. If I go of a heart attack, that's the way I want to go. Running down the street chasing some maggot. I don't want to go with chemotherapy and radiation treatments. Give me a heart attack any day. 1 minute you're drinking a beer laughing with the guys. Next minute you're toe-tagged on a slab. It'll probably happen on duty in a time of stress. And when I'm keeling over, I'm going to fire a few rounds into the crowd, too. Because I don't want people looking at me while I'm lying. Yeah." And so you walk out into your squad car feeling bold, feeling proud. The only reason they keep you on the force is because you've invented some very special interrogation techniques. You see, while you're on duty, you wear boots, so you're bold and proud. But sometimes when you're in plain clothes, in order so you can run down these maggots, you got hush puppies on. But when you're interviewing a suspect and he's starting to be non-cooperative, that's when the sergeant will say to you, "Let your dogs talk to him." That's when you pull off one of your hush puppies and blah, 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 blah. And if he still won't talk to you, your sergeant will say, "I think this boy needs directory assistance." That's when you pick up the telephone receiver and bow, 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 bow. And if he still won't talk to you, you pick up the whole phone book and give him a little long distance information. Blah, 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 blah. And send him bleeding downstairs to book him. I mean, book him. We'll do a little bit of it there. I say, Lady Di, I wonder if I can have a word with you.
Oh, yes, Charles. I was just getting ready to take tea. But if you would like to have a word with me, I should be more than happy to listen to whatever it is you would like to communicate to me.
Lady Di, can't you just say bloody yes?
But what is it, Charles? Don't be cross with me.
Lady Di, I was wondering if maybe you would consider...
What is it, Charles? Out with it. But Lady Di, I've been thinking that I'd like to try a little bit of...
Lady Di, I
thought about it, and I thought we might end it. After all, no, Charles. No. No, no, no. I shall perish before I'll do any football.
Well, Lady Di, you have had 2 children now, and
what are you trying to say, Charles?
Well, Lady Di, I'm not trying to say anything at all, actually. But
are you saying, Charles, that you'd like a tad more constriction than I've been offering you?
Well, no offense intended, Lady Di. It's just that, well, I...
I understand. understand completely, Charles. I know exactly what you're saying. The answer's no! You've confirmed it! I've long thought you an animal, a pig, a swine! And now you've just confirmed it! Wanting something so sick, something so deprived! I should think that would be up to you, Charles! When you're not riding your bloody horses, when you're not sporting around in your yacht, you're thinking of... Well, I would think the mother of your children, the next Queen of England, if you think for 1 minute that I'm going to submit to so degrading a procedure, you're crazy, Charles!
Minute, lady, I don't get yourself in a tizzy now. There's nothing sick. I talked to Father McGillicuddy, and I asked him if it was...
You what? You spoke to Father McGillicuddy about what? He's going to think we are totally deprived.
No, lady, no, not at all. He didn't think that at all. As a matter of fact, he said what people do when they're in love behind closed doors is their own business, and no one else should decide. As long as two people are in love and are married. Father McGillicuddy, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Come on, let's go down to the chapel. The services are beginning right now. I want to ask him for myself. I can't believe it, John. Oh, go to the chapel now. Unbelievable. It's just an unbelievable situation. There he is now, Charles. Father McGillicuddy! Father McGillicuddy! With you, please. Father McGillicuddy, I can't believe it. Charles has just told me that you and he had a conversation, and I want you to tell him about this. I mean, Charles wants it. Tell him it's wrong, Father. Tell him he'll burn. Father, please, tell him he'll burn. Lady, I don't believe he'll burn at all. He might chafe a tad, but there will be no burning at all. It's actually quite
a growing number of people have a health plan.
There must have been some 49ers fans in the neighborhood, though, because every time the Skins would fumble or 49ers would score, I'd hear cheering go up from a house, a couple of houses down from mine. You know, they're having some kind of party or something. I'm thinking, wait a minute, what is this here, you know? What is this? Yeah, you know, paddle day, Redskins. I'd hear cheering go on. I say, well, yeah, I put my coat on. My honey said, no, don't go out there. Don't start. I said, I'm not. All right. She said, look, it's just a game, right? I said, all right. I sat back down. Finally, you know, field goal. It's good. It's through the uprights. 49ers on the boards again. I'm thinking, I hear the cheering. So my honey went to brush her teeth. And when she did, I grabbed my coat. I ran outside, cutting across the backyards, jumping across fences, tripping over clotheslines. I could see all the lights on. I reached down. They had one of them little jockeys holding a lantern. I picked it up. I went to that back sliding glass door. Yeah! I came hot-footed it back home. And my honey was standing there saying, did you? I said, no. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I mean, come on. People dangling. Hello.
This is Direct Line to the Three Fans Big Behind.
Yes, and you have reached my big behind. Speak
to me. Why do you hate the maggotry so much?
What do you mean hate the maggotry? I don't hate the maggotry.
Rag on the maggotry all the time.
I don't rag on anyone that does not beg me to rag upon them, sir.
They invite abuse?
Exactly. I've never heard it more succinctly put.
You sort of take advantage of that.
I don't take advantage of it. I correct them first before I give any abuse, and then we continue on, and they refuse to follow basic conversational structure, and so I vent my spleen on them, sir. Yes.
How many maggots do you talk to a day?
I don't know, about 100, but now that you've told that, 101. 17 after 8 at DC 101. Let me tell you something, I developed my intolerance for imperfection. It's back when I was teaching Shakespearean theory at Harvard. Well, you know, I had to put myself through Harvard Med, and while I was there, being a man who had completely read and digested everything Shakespeare ever wrote, I decided to put it to good use and teach an advanced Shakespearean course. Like most professors, I was a John Houseman type, very stodgy. If I detected the slightest bit of inattention from any one of my quote-unquote students, and I use the term generously, I would bounce like a cat with humiliation. Humiliation was the lesson I taught them, that never, ever, there I am, sprouting.
unending pearls of wisdom. And if I detected someone seeing me with a wan expression on his or her face, I would leap like a cat. I remember one time I was delving heavily into Shakespeare's private life as perhaps a motivation for some of his more tragic offerings. When I noticed third row in, second seat to the left, I looked out at my card notebook. I said, "You there? You, Johnson, is it? Stand up." He said, I was known to lash a student to ribbons, and so he quivered as he stood there. I said, "Johnson, Shakespeare is one of the most prolific writers of the written word since the beginning of time, wouldn't you say?" He said, "Well, I said, wouldn't you